You're listening to MGMA Take 10, 10 minutes of practical tips for medical practice executives. We're speaking with Davis Balistraci, author of the best-selling book, Data Sanity, A Quantum Leap to Unprecedented Results, about how to drive quality in your practice through data and leadership. For MGMA Communications, I'm Karen Baginski. Davis, what's your definition of data sanity?
I kind of coined that term a few years ago. It sort of follows through, I think, what Deming was trying to teach. I think he saw it very early, in fact, probably 50 years ago, that variation is the enemy of quality. In fact, he said, if I had to reduce my message to management for a few words, I'd say it all had to do with reducing variation. What I try to do is follow on that definition to see how much time we waste in what I call, for lack of a better term, silly meetings, just arguing or reacting to what Deming would call common cause, a random variation in data, random ups and downs that are treated as needing explanation, which actually, when people do try to solve variation that's systemic as if it were unique, Deming had a specific term for that called tampering, that actually adds additional complexity without value. So by data sanity, I guess it's because of the reaction I've seen to data insanity.
What are some more examples of time spent wasted on data?
Some research by a gentleman whom I respect a lot, Mark Graham Brown, has written very good work on ballot scorecard analytics. He thinks up to 50% of the time senior management spends in meetings utilizing data is waste, and that middle managers waste an hour a day poring over useless performance data. Or what I like to say by data insanity is you will go to a meeting and someone will hand out a table of numbers and everyone starts drawing things. What then happens is people demand explanations as to why the number has gone up or gone down. And I use my statistical wisdom to say, did you know that given two numbers, one will be bigger? So in other words, what managers need to realize is that everything is a process. And by the way, these programs like total quality management, continuous quality improvement, then evolved to Six Sigma, has now evolved to Lean, has now evolved to Lean Six Sigma, has now evolved to Toyota Production System, are all based on the fact that all work is a process. And the key question isn't, is one number bigger than another, but is the process that produced the second number the same as the process that produced the first number? Just by the fact that managers don't recognize that costs organizations millions. So in wasted meeting time, in wasted time for people looking for explanations to solve things. And I have a saying in terms of my expertise that I'm the statistician. I know nothing. They're the healthcare people. They know too much. That makes us a good team. The other thing about data insanity is that the other thing Mark Graham Brown has found is that 80% of published financial reports is waste, and 60% of performance data that's published, just kind of how are we doing data, is waste. You know, that could be stopped in an organization if it aligns its measurement systems properly.
In your perspective, then, how can someone harness this in their healthcare organization and make it more quality-driven and less waste-driven?
That comes down to the techniques I teach in the seminar. And I've heard this said that the most powerful thing anybody can do is simply all data, all processes have measurable outputs, is to take those outputs and plot them over time. As amazingly simple as that seems, I run a seminar where that's what we do. I put people through example after example after example after example. And then they notice in the afternoon that we are going through myriad examples. And I say to them at the end of the day, did you ever anticipate you would cover this much data in this short a time? And the surprising reaction is no. And I said, have you ever had conversations like this about data? And they go, no. I'm finding a quote from Don Berwick from his, believe it or not, 1995 forum plenary. And he says, quote, plotting measurements over time turns out, in my view, to be one of the most important devices we have for systemic learning. Several important things happen when you plot data over time. First, you have to ask what data to plot. In the exploration of the answer, you begin to clarify aims, and also to see the system from a wider viewpoint. Where are the data? What do they mean? To whom? Who should see them? Why? These are questions that integrate and clarify aims and systems all at once. And then he says, if you follow only one piece of advice from this lecture when you get home, pick a measurement you care about and begin to plot it regularly over time. You won't be sorry, end quote. And my subsequent experience the last 15 years has borne this out.
In the preface to your book, you write, don't teach people statistics, teach them how to solve their problems. What's an example of a medical practice getting stuck on those statistics and not improving on their quality?
A friend of mine, so something for managers and especially executives, is that a friend of mine says, it's not the problems that march into your office. The important problems are the ones no one's aware of. And what people don't realize is a lot of what comes into their office are just symptoms of deeper problems. Or Deming had a wonderful saying, statistics on the number of accidents doesn't help you improve accidents. And I notice a lot of the data management gets is performance data. So that's where I once again say, statistics on performance don't help you improve performance. And then there's the manner in which we receive the data as aggregated tables, usually comparing this period to the last period, or at best, this month versus last month versus 12 months ago, or you have the quality improvement or the quarterly review meeting, comparing things to arbitrary goals, and numerically arbitrary goals are another driver of waste, because frightened people are very clever. They will always meet a goal. And then the objective becomes to meet the goal and not necessarily improve the process that's producing the output. You'll go to a quarterly review meeting, you'll have what I call bar graphs with the current 3 months' performance, and then they'll look at this month, last month, 12 months ago, and then they'll look at this quarter, last quarter, same quarter last year, usually with trend lines. And a very famous favorite managerial tool is the trend line. And I'm going to make a bold statement, even though they say never, I have never in 30 years as a statistician seen an appropriate use of a trend line on administrative data. I will reiterate, never. I had regression in graduate school. It was one of my favorite courses, and I'm very good at it. And as much as I like it, I very rarely use it. And in talking with Tom Nolan, fellow of IHI, a fellow statistician, and one of the people I respect the most in healthcare quality improvement, I said, Tom, they say never, but what about this? And I gave him that scenario, and he looked at me in that very quiet, thoughtful way of his and said, I agree with you.
So that's an example of waste, something that you don't want to bring into a meeting. What are some other types of waste in the practice that managers spend a lot of time doing but don't need to?
Reacting to individual problems or reacting to an anecdote, which is a symptom of something deeper. Don Berwick said this once, the plural of anecdote is not data. In other words, okay, how often is this happening? Is it once a day? Is it five times a week? Is it what is it? Or did it happen 5 years ago and people still talk about it? The thing with quality improvement becomes, in God we trust, all others bring data. But there's this stereotype about statistics that it's number crunching or massaging reams and reams of data. What I want to emphasize is what I'm talking about is a totally different approach to data that's simple and efficient. In other words, I don't want a lot of data. And people in the seminars are amazed at how little data it takes to characterize a situation, to react appropriately to it. And by the way, most of what we're taught in school is the research approach to statistics, which is generally invalid in the real world.
What are some key things that participants will learn at the seminar and can use right away to better their organizations?
Well, they will learn, first of all, that what I'm trying to do, like I said, isn't statistics. In fact, in thinking about it, the math I teach, and I've had multiple math phobes over the year come up and say, I'm the most math phobic person you'll ever taught. And I've had almost 100 people tell me this. And they said, this makes sense. I can do this in the seminar. I will give them a little Excel macro. And this one woman who was particularly math phobic said, my children will be amazed when I go home, put this on our computer, and show them what I learned today. The math skills I say are pretty much, can you count to 8? Can you sort a list of numbers? And can you subtract two numbers, and I say, now this gets quite advanced. That will involve some borrowing. So the math is trivial. I want them to be able to, what I call, think statistically, which means look at something as an output from a process to have more productive conversations and more productive actions in response to data.
In your opinion, I'm curious, what do you think are the characteristics central to a strong healthcare leader?
Oh boy, let's see. I could get into trouble with this one, but that's all right. I'm going to say it anyway. What I see in America, and seems to be in general, we need a new type of executive. If I could characterize something, I would say the biggest problem to healthcare improvement is executive arrogance. Now, let me characterize that further. I think these are people who've gotten successful by solving problems, never failing, being can-do. But it's amazing. The resistance I get from an executive audience to learning these simple, simple, simple skills is fierce. And I mean fierce. The damage caused, I mean, I get a little sarcastic when I say, you know, it's a great gig to say this number is bigger than that number and I don't like it and it should meet this goal, make it so. That is not leadership. That is not leadership at all. People need to understand, and that's why Deming said, if I could reduce my message to management to just a few words, I'd say it all had to do with reducing variation. Deming got very impatient with executive arrogance. And I think data sanity is a key skill to part of it, understanding variation, and promoting leaders into those positions only after they have that skill. That should be part of the training, which is why I wrote the book, in that the first five chapters are a primer for leadership, as well as the cultural improvement and psychology and leadership skills needed now in the 21st century.
Don't wait to improve your practice. Sign up for the Data Sanity Seminar, January 23rd to 24th in St. Petersburg, Florida, at mgma.com/education.